This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Women on ORFM Dunedin.
Kia ora and welcome to our next episode of Wondering Women. I am your host today, Amy Armstrong, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to Pauline Donovan. Kia ora, Pauline.
Kia ora, Amy.
Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for asking.
So I've known Pauline. We were just talking before. We've both been at the University of Otago in different roles for almost 20 years for you, not quite, and a little bit more for me, but... So Pauline is the head of college at UniCol at the moment, and I knew her as another head of college as well at Hayward.
That's right.
So, do you just want to introduce yourself a little bit and tell us where you're from if you want and how long you've been in these kind of roles?
Sure. Kia ora, ko Pauline Donovan, toko ingoa. So my name's Pauline Donovan. I originate from Wairoa in the North Island. I won't tell you how long ago I was born, but it actually is 60 years ago, so that gives you a hint. I grew up there initially, and then we came over to the South Island when I was about two or three, and we moved to a hydro village in Aviemore, which is in the Waitaki Valley.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I'm number two of five children, and after a period of time working there, my dad decided it's time to move, so we moved to Oamaru. And it was different to Aviemore. And I went to St. Thomas's secondary, St. Joseph's primary, and spent my last year at St. Kevin's once St. Thomas's amalgamated.
Okay.
I moved to Dunedin in 1985. I lived in University College, which is UniCol, which is where I am now.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. And it was my first year of tertiary study. I decided to do a Bachelor of Commerce. And then in my third and fourth years, I went back to UniCol as what they called, now they call it a kaiāwhina or a subwarden, but it was welfare staff. And that was the start of my career in pastoral care. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what inspired me to be a teacher.
Teaching.
I went to Christchurch College of Education, or Teachers College back then, and then went teaching. And my first teaching job was at Queen's High School in Dunedin.
Cool.
In 1990, and I worked under one of the most wonderful principals who's just passed away, Pat Harrison, who was an amazing woman.
Cool.
And then I went to Auckland. I followed my heart to Auckland at the time and went to Otahuhu College, became head of college or head of department, rather, at Pakuranga. And I was about 6 years into teaching, so I was quite young. And I kept my hand in PPDA National Executive, so I started down here and went to Auckland and represented them there as well.
What's PPDA?
Post-Primary Teachers Association.
Okay, yep.
So as a National Executive, so I represented Dunedin and Otago, and then I was also one of the Auckland reps.
Cool.
And as if I had nothing else to do, I was also involved with the Board of Trustees at Pakuranga College, but staff rep, I decided to do an MBA through Otago because I thought I wasn't intelligent enough to get in, and actually I did get in, and it was an executive program based in Auckland.
Cool.
And it was a wonderful program as well. And from there I moved to Rotorua Girls as deputy principal and then to NZQA in Wellington in 2005 for a contract role, and then came to Dunedin as head of college at Hayward. Yeah.
That's cool. So you've lived around the country a bit, don't you?
Yeah, it's like a migrating bird from Dunedin up north to come back, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And and had lots of different experiences, but you've landed in roles of head of colleges, and you're at Hayward for a while, and now you're at UniCol, which I'm interested in just listening to you now. It's your third time there, really. First as a student, then as a kaiāwhina or a welfare staff or student. Were you a student at the time?
Yeah.
And now as head of college, and you're the first female head of college in this college, right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Wow.
It was a bit of an honour for me.
So,
And this is the place that started my career in pastoral care. University College. So it's a really large college, and it's full of fun and adventure.
Yeah.
And it's a great job to have.
Yeah, that's cool. And I know Pauline. They're lucky to have her. She's very good at her job.
Thank you.
So life has changed a lot from the time you were a student to now. And actually, you're a student at the same college you're leading now. Mm-hmm. So what differences stand out to you the most in college life or student experiences? And how have these changes shaped the way you approach your leadership style?
Well, when I was at Unico in 1985 as a first year, there was just the two towers, the North and the South Tower.
Okay.
And the North Tower was for female residents and the South Tower was for males to live in. And that changed towards the second year of being a subordinate or welfare staff in 1988. And now it's mixed completely.
Mm.
I think the differences for young people, I mean, I think they have a lot more pressure than compared to what I did, you know, mobile phones, social media, IT. That wasn't as well advanced. You know, I was thinking about going to meet somebody. We'd ring on the telephone.
Yeah.
And at Unico, you know, we had a line into the college and we'd be someone would put us on the Tannoy system, I think it was called, and calling us to take a phone call. So that's how we actually connected, because we didn't have mobile phones to message people to say, I'll see you here or there. So the world's got more connected, and there's been so many changes in terms of how young people study and work with technology, But there are more options available for young people in terms of their study choices.
Yeah.
And there's also so many more support systems in place for them.
Mm.
So some of the departments that didn't exist at the university now do exist in terms of supporting them.
Yeah.
And the New Zealand country, like the world, has also changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much changes, and I'm interested that you're talking about social media and it connects people, but it's also can be a disconnect, can't it? Because it's connecting in a different way. It's not face to face or always personal, or they can be.
Yeah.
It can be hard.
I think it can be hard. I think I was a bit of a dinosaur when it came to social media and actually realized that I needed to engage with young people. I think it was 2015 at Hayward. We'd always had a Facebook page for a few years, but I'd always kept off it and had another staff member run it. But in 2015, I was like, no, I better use social media. And so I joined Facebook, which I wasn't really wanting to do.
Mm.
I am on Instagram because Facebook's now old hat for young people, you know, and those are the two platforms that I use.
Mm.
And I think it's important to use it because that's how young people engage with each other and communicate with each other, essentially.
Mm.
I'm not on some of the other, you know, platforms because it's not my thing.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a key thing for me in terms of how the world has changed and for me to change. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you sort of have to, don't you? Like, in my experience anyway, they don't really even answer emails. It's just messaging on Messenger or somewhere else. If you want to communicate, it sort of, you have to go with it, don't you?
You do. And sometimes also they don't talk on the phone as much as what we used to.
Yeah.
So that's a different generation thing. And texting young people is better than actually, I shouldn't call them young people, but students, is actually better than ringing them.
Mm.
You know, some people will take phone calls, some won't, because they won't know the call, or if they have a caller ID, they won't answer in a lot of cases.
Gosh, it's such a different world.
Yeah.
That's cool. And gosh, did you expect to be in this role? Is it something that just fell in your lap, or is it something you always wanted to be?
No, I didn't plan to be in this role. I was teaching in commerce, and then I was head of commerce, and I guess where I was heading was to be a principal in a high school. I don't know why I decided that wasn't for me. It probably would have been okay, but I think I still had my heart in the residential college system, or was halls back then, at the University of Otago, because it was a wonderful way to meet people and a wonderful way to be involved with so many different facets of the university. So the memories of my time at Unico, and even though it was in the 80s, was still with me when this role came up at Hayward, actually, not at Unico initially.
Mm.
So the connections I made in the 80s with people at the colleges or the halls were really strong, and I still had that fond memory. So I thought I could be a warden or a college head, and I just finished my MBA, so it gave me good grounding for that management side of things as well.
And I think it's, when I said at the beginning, and I really meant it, that they're lucky to have you, because I think, like, you remember your good experience, and you probably want to bring these young adults a good experience. And often today you hear, like, they can get a bad name, right? Young adults for today, mm-hmm. I think. And people be like, young people today, they just do this and they just do that and they just want to be on their phones. But I think you're a person who really understands them and wants to understand them and keeps connected to them and sees, I mean, I'm sure there are hard things that happen in halls of colleges, what's the term we use now?
Residential college.
Residential colleges.
Yeah.
Hard things happen. I know you have to deal with things all the time. But I also know from my conversation with you, it hasn't jaded you. You've stayed in touch and excited by young people. And I think that must be really crucial in this kind of role.
They make the job. I think for me it's a service type of role, very vocational.
Mm.
I really enjoy getting to meet them, although I don't have as much. When I was at Hayward, it was more hands-on compared to UNICOL with regard to just in terms of size and getting to know everyone. But it's really good to hear their stories and see them develop and see them walk in with their parents often at the beginning of the year or previous year when they've come on an open day, and then just watch them grow and develop and help them through their different aspects of their life as a student in their first year. And you know, some of them come in with no friends and then they meet lots of people and it's really good and they can be involved with so many different things. So they grow really, really into wonderful young people.
Yeah. That's cool. Have you had the experience of now having a couple of generations, like families, like you know the parents, like students that you were with are now parents, or has that not happened for
not
you?
Yet, and not yet in terms of being the college warden, but definitely in terms of being a Kaia Whenua or sub warden.
Oh, yeah.
So students that I was their welfare staff or sub warden back in the 80s, their students, their young people are coming through. Yeah. And that's really special because they hopefully remember me fondly, and often they do. When they recognise me, and I still recognise them, and we have a conversation. So the last couple of years where I've been at UNICOL, there have been children of students who I was their subordinate for. And it's really special.
That's
absolutely
cool.
Special, yeah.
That's cool. And that you remember them and they remember you. Like it speaks to the nature of the experience or the connection, the depth of connection. Okay, so we've talked a bit about how special it is for the students forming relationships, and can just talk a bit more about what the college's role is shaping the student life and community and their experiences at university?
Yeah, so the college, for most residents, it's the first time they've lived away from home. So it's their first experience living with other residents who come from very diverse backgrounds compared to theirs, and also different places. And I think it's important we offer a variety of activities that can bring them together. Whether it's cultural or sporting or games or different events, it's a chance for them to get involved and things they've never been involved with, and you know, meet people that they may not meet from where they're from. So it's a chance for them to meet different – we've got a lot of international students or students from different parts of New Zealand. I think it's a really good way for young people to meet – I keep calling them young people, but that's what I'm going to call them.
Yeah, they're young.
Young people or students, for them to meet and engage with other people.
Yeah.
And actually living in a community has its good and bad aspects.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a first year at UNICOL, you know, when you're living with – I think it was 300 and something back then, it's a place that's always really busy, and but it also gives you a wonderful opportunity to get involved with lots of different things.
Yeah. So how many are there now?
461.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would it be the biggest college?
It is at the moment, yeah. I think Te Rangi Hero is 450, yeah. So UNICOL is still the biggest, so it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice and challenging, I'm sure. So are there any particular traditions or initiatives that you're especially proud of that you've brought to the college? Or
Well, for me, I've been at UNICOL, this is my fourth year. I introduced the mihi whakatau that we have as part of our welcome dinner or welcome to the college. So that's a wonderful way to welcome people. And I also started that at Hayward College.
Cool.
So we have that at the start of our dinner. And we have that in the dining room now. We did go over to the St. David's because our numbers are so big.
Yeah.
But we managed to get everyone in the dining room because it's really important to, you know, have a kai afterwards.
And be welcome to the place where they're coming to.
Exactly, and having a Māori welcome to me is really important. And hearing Māori as the first voice to welcome them is also really important for me. The college hosts, this has been starting to get well known to be hosting flag-raising ceremonies for the different Pacific Island language weeks.
Oh.
Yeah, so we just put the one up for Papua New Guinea last Sunday, and we've had other ones go up during the year. So they all, the different student executives for each of those respective nations contacts me, and we book in a time and we raise the flag and we'll have and play the national anthem and a prayer. And, yeah, it's a really lovely experience.
Yeah.
And I also want to talk about an initiative. Well, it's actually not my initiative. This was actually a scholarship that was developed in the remembrance of Mark Parker, who was killed in the Bali bombings. Now, he was actually a student of UNICOL in the 90s, I think, and the family have set up a trust, and I get involved with that because I shortlist and we do the interviews, and that's actually coming up shortly. So that's a tradition now of UNICOL, but it wasn't set up by me. It was set up by the family and staff at the time. So it's a really wonderful way to remember him, and we've named one of our seminar rooms after him. Yeah,
that's really cool, and they can live on in a different way, but a very special way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. So I'm just thinking about all the students. I mean, okay, we're towards the end of the academic year now, but there'll be a lot of people thinking about next year and where they're going to go. And do you have any advice to students or parents of students of how they can make the most of their college experience?
Well, I think it's important to get involved.
Mm.
You know, I say this to Kai Fina at the start of the year, get involved with everybody and get involved and know people. I think sometimes students can come down in groups, you know, they have their own friends already, some of them, not all of them. And so it's important that they meet as many people as possible and get involved in the activities. So we have the inter-college competitions, which is in cultural, sporting or games. We have an inter-college, intra-college competition, and lots of other volunteering is a big thing, and also our sustainability committee. So there's plenty of things for them to get engaged with. And also on campus, the clubs and socks day, getting involved with that and knowing, trying something new, you know, and knowing where to go to do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just stepping out and trying new things and meeting new people. And
making the most of their opportunities. And I think I tell them that in the welcome dinner, actually. So I sort of talk to them about make the most of your opportunities and the community that you're actually going to be living in, meet as many people as you can.
That's cool. That's really good advice, start of the year. And what about someone thinking about applying for a role like a head of college? What advice would you give to the next generation of people coming into this role?
I think get as much experience of life and work in different roles, working particularly with students or young people. This job to me is not a job, it's a vocation. And it really helps to understand that. We talk about 9 to 5. It's not 9 to 5.
No.
You know, we can be called out. The wardens particularly can be called out at any time. So it's about understanding that. And if you have a family, how are you going to work around that and how they can be part of the community? Because a lot of people with families, they are very much a part of the college community and culture. And I think also having excellent communication skills is important, and administrative skills, and keeping up to date with change.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's why it's a special person that steps into this role, isn't it?
Yes.
You have to wear a few different hats, accept all parts of this role and bring your whole family to it to a degree. Like, I'm sure there must be boundaries that are helpful, but do you have practices, or because it could just take over your life if you let it, right? Which is part of a vocation.
Yeah.
Like, I get that in any sort of pastoral role. It's not 9 to 5, but do you have any practices that you're like, I have to keep it sustainable, because you've been in, how long have you been doing this?
20 years in April.
20 years. Yeah. That's a long time to do a role of this nature.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So what have you done to keep it? Or what haven't you done?
I'm probably not the best person to ask this question. I suppose, given the fact I was a teacher,
yeah,
you know, with teaching, it's not a 9-to-3 job. It's a big job.
Yeah.
And you are busy working in the evenings and the weekends. And so I had that already in my psyche, I suppose. Mm. I think it's good to have a break if you can. Mm. And if you can, you know, just catch up with friends, go out for coffee or do something away from the college.
Mm.
Yeah, it is difficult. I think where I'm living now at Unicole, there's a separate house for the warden.
Mm.
So it just separates you a wee bit from the college, whereas my previous college, I was in the building. So, yeah, I think you do have to take stock of just having some work-life balance. It is, though, challenging, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I'm really hearing what you're saying. It's a vocation because like, I've really seen, I know, like, I'm not trying to glamorize this at all, and I know there are hard times and challenges, but I still, over the years, I've seen you still have a sense of energy for it and able to manage all of that. And I think you have to be a certain person or have a certain vocation to it to manage all that, because, like, well done is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's
thanks. I think just working with different groups of students gives you that energy, and I think I miss them when they're not there, which is, you know, summer break and stuff. So I think being my age is actually – I don't feel my age because of working in that environment of 18-year-olds constantly every year.
Keeps you young in a way, doesn't it?
It does in a way, yeah. Well, they probably think I'm some old thing, so who cares? But, you know, so,
That's cool. All right, well, we're almost out of time, and we always finish our show with the same question. And I've alluded a few times to there'll be challenges in your roles. And so when things are particularly tough, or, I mean, we all, whether it's what's happening in the world or what's happening in your life or in your work, do you have any tips or wisdom to offer our guests how you keep going or find hope in the harder, darker times?
Well, it's a good question. I think for me, it's about perspective. Those hard times don't last forever.
Mm.
And those hard times actually build us in lots of different ways and make us who we are today. I think seeking wise counsel. I had some really good mentors when I first started as a warden, and also having some wise counsel outside of the college.
Yeah.
So we all have professional supervisors, and they are wonderful.
Yeah.
And maintaining self-care, which is something that I'm not particularly good at, but it's all about, you know, making sure that you look after yourself, keep up with your fitness, and if you are that sort of person, and for me, I am now, but looking after yourself and just in the small things, and getting out and talking to people.
Yeah. And when you say you're not particularly good at it, like, I don't know that any of us are. Like, you know, we go on and we're managing, and then we hit these times and we're reminded that, okay, maybe I need to have a bit more support and do something a bit different, you know?
So. I think so. And I think one of the things at the university is that I think is really great is there's so many wonderful people to support you.
Yeah.
If you ask them for that. So we have the wonderful chaplains, and I know you're one of them. And and we have just a whole lot of people. So,
yeah.
And that's really helpful. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things Otago does really well.
Yep.
So in chaplaincy, we talk about pastoral care a lot, but it's in the calls, there's a heck of a lot of pastoral care that happens, like from you at the top all the way down. And then, and even in departments, I just think it's part of the ethos of the university. And again, it's, you know, obviously there's hard times and frictions, but it seems to always be in the way that Otago thinks for the most part to look after their students. So
yeah, they do it well, I think.
Yeah,
definitely.
They do. And maybe it's the nature of Dunedin being a university that people leave home to come to.
Yep.
And so we know that there's a lot of students down here that don't have their immediate whānau support around them. So we become that, don't we?
We definitely do. Yeah, definitely do. And that's a change from when I was here in the 80s as well. You know,
okay.
So, yeah, I think there was always, you know, student health, for example, was there. And but I don't think I knew of lots of things that were available as a student.
Yeah.
And there's so many more departments and services available on campus, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time today, Pauline. I know you have a busy schedule, so I appreciate you taking time out to talk to us about your role and just some of the wisdom that you've gained from it. And thank you for being such a great leader and pastoral care and just a real person. I think you're very approachable for these students. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thanks, Amy.
Yeah.
I appreciate you asking me along.
Yeah, no, it's
nice to chat.
It's been really fun. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode of Wondering Woman.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.